When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Good! Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Welcome to a new episode of Warriors Plus Minus. This might be the wake, according to the latest from Anthony Slater.
Wow.
They might be done, is what I read in The Athletic.
Did it massive, feel that harsh?
Massive. It's amazing. They've lost so many like awful games, right? And then they have this like great run where they're playing well, they're looking good, optimism is high. And then basically three games. Like
yeah. I had a few people even prior to the Mavericks game yesterday to talk about how painful the Bulls Spurs combo losses were to the grand scheme. Not massive. Like, you know, whatever. If you just have a normal season that they thought they were gonna have, whatever. But it really put them in a tough spot standings wise.
And like you wrote, like it's because of what happened earlier, but it's just odd. Like, we've seen this team like absolutely get their heart yanked out, and the dagger, it just might be a loss to the Bulls, a loss to Spurs without Wembanyama, and a loss to Dallas, all without
you kind of didn't have a chance, you know. And the Bulls lost, yeah. You know, maybe you win if Steph doesn't twist the ankle. You're up two when he does it with like 2:40 left. And you lose without him against San Antonio. But again, you mentioned it. A lot of my post-game conversations last night in Dallas were about, like, man, this may seal, not only seal likely playing out of the 9-10, but at the same time, the Kings are beating the Lakers, and you kind of feel like the Lakers are being pushed into the 9-10 too. And it's like, we might just know right now it's going to be Lakers, Warriors, 9-10. We just don't know where.
Yeah, and that's not a good matchup, by the way.
I should warn the listeners, you may hear a child at some point.
Yeah, we have a special guest on the podcast, and you know, we like guests, especially this one. So whatever you want to chime in, young fella, do so, please. But there is one solution. There is one way they can get out of this thing. They need a massive win streak to happen.
Like, did you see Steve Kerr's answer on it? He's, he's like, at any point in the season, you can win 10 in a row.
Yeah.
That is bold right now.
You think you went 10 in a row, change the scope of things? Like, that's what it's come to, though, right?
Yeah. About half their remaining games are like your favorite, you should win, right? There's like the Memphises, the Utahs of the world still left. And there's still a chunk of those games. It's not a daunting schedule left, but there are too many good, you know, good opponents left on the schedule to believe that, you know, they're going 13-4 or 14-3. You know, there's too many. They start a road trip coming up at Minnesota, at Miami, at Orlando. And then, it goes into San Antonio, and I think Charlotte's the other one, where, you know, you'd expect them to be able to take care of business there. But, like, is that going to be a 5-0 road trip, 4-1 road trip?
On the road makes it more valuable than at home, right? Like, that's
also true. 17,
that's where they put wins in.
At home.
That's where they seem to play their best basketball. They need another team to fall off. It's what they would need. They need another team to hit a terrible time skid. Because the difference is you got to get to 7-8. Even if that's on the road, that's a win and get in situation.
You know what else it is?
What?
It's also an ability, not that you would manipulate who you're going to play, but it's at least you have two options. You know, to me now, if you get in the 7-8, you could play the Nuggets, you could play the Thunder. If you're playing out of the 9-10, You guaranteed yourself having to play two play-in games. You can't just get the one game on like a Tuesday night and rest the rest of the week. You're going to have to win on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and win and on Thursday, Friday. And then you're going to
play Saturday.
Play Sunday afternoon on ABC 36 hours later, probably in Denver at this point, by the way. The Nuggets just took over the one seed last night. I was just in Oklahoma City. It feels like the way the two teams are trending, Denver's going to be the one. So you're pretty much potentially trapping yourself into – a really tough path to get out of the plan, and then probably a 2-0 series hold.
Yeah, right. The like, champions, right?
Before you can even catch your breath. So, yeah, that's the concern right now. It's just the position.
Yeah, so they need to get up to 7-8. That would be like the most ideal situation. Like you said, New Orleans and Phoenix have found their stride. What hope remains?
The hope that remains is that the Lakers are still great. You have the same amount of losses as the Lakers. You play them two more times. You handle your business there, you can at least get a potential home game at 9. And then you have to find one target above them. And Dallas tonight is going to Oklahoma City, and they're going to play the Thunder without Luka. Luka missed the final stretch of the game last night with a little hammy, didn't travel. You would expect, you know, maybe the Mavericks should lose that game, right? Back-to-back in Oklahoma City without Luka. So then I believe there are only two losses behind them in the loss column. You play them two more times. The concern now is, because of your conference record, which is so much worse than the Mavericks, the best you can do is 2-2. You're probably losing the tiebreaker to the Mavericks. So really, you already are going to lose the tiebreaker to Phoenix because of head-to-head and the Kings because of division record. So you're adding an extra game onto all of this with the three teams where you have to find one target. So if you're 3.5 back now, you're kind of 4.5 back. But to me, it's Dallas probably, especially if, you know, maybe this Luka hamstring thing lingers. You could see the Kings hitting a skid, but every time you think the Kings are hitting a skid, they get a huge win. Phoenix, I don't see, although Phoenix probably has the toughest schedule of the three. Who do you is the target? Because you have to find one of those teams.
Definitely Dallas. I agree. Sacramento, I keep thinking this is the part they go down, and they somehow buoy themselves into, you know, staying where they are. I don't know why. I'm expecting New Orleans to drop back to the pack. Like, they're playing so well.
Like 15 games over 500. It's unbelievable. It's just like,
they're playing so well. I don't think they fall into the play-in. But, you know, things are possible. To me, it's like you get to 7 or 8. You get to 8, and you go to whatever, Sacramento, and try to get a win. Like that. But I do feel like Dallas and Sacramento are the most vulnerable. Not like the Luka. I thought that even with Luka, but if Luka's out like that, really helps the Warriors cause. But it doesn't matter anyway. They just have to win. They need to get Steph back, and they need to go on a little run, which you felt like they were able to do until that Chicago game, right? The Chicago game happened, and it's like, where is this team? Because Steph played most of the game, and it was a dogfight. Now, in fairness, Chicago's been giving people problems for a while. They've been playing well. DeMar DeRozan's been insane. Kobe White's this second half surge, that's super impressive. Like, they've been an offensive machine type of they've been a great.
You know what else game. I was alerted to about that game? You know, they have these like expected score number metrics internally after every game, which has to do with like, you know, what was the percentage chance you were making?
You're gonna make that shot, yeah.
You know. And a Nikola Vucevic contested mid-ranger is like not that great, but he hit a bunch of them. DeRozan the same. The expected score was something like 130 to 108. They should have won that game. Like, they were kind of unlucky in that game which shots were hit. And also, I believe the Bulls had 8 points at the rim in the entire game. Like, it was a lot of mid-range free throws, pump fakes. Now, look, blame their defense for, you know, Kuminga's jumping at a DeRozan pump fake. He shouldn't. But in some ways, I do think that was kind of an unlucky loss. But, oh, and AJ agrees, apparently. But overall, that doesn't matter anymore, right? Because of the sins early in the season. Okay, an unlucky loss is still a really destructive loss.
Yeah.
No matter
how. Jokic hitting a buzzer beater off the glass from like 40 feet is unlucky. Still hurts, like, right? It's still a problem. So, yeah, you got to figure out a way to win that game. They've got to go on a little streak here. Like, they need to get Steph back. Who, by the way, shout out to Stephen Curry, who turned 36 today on Pi Day, which is also, by the way, Anthony Slater, when I was a senior in high school, is the day Tupac's Me Against the World came out.
This very, is very, very great information.
Day. Very important day in the life of Marcus Thompson.
Okay. Then that's a very important day for all the listeners out there. This is why you get all the gold.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let me ask you, what about their recent downslide is like concerned you most? Or, you know, just like where, what areas have you felt they've like, maybe it's a player, maybe it's a specific, you know, part of the game, but like what about the last few games kind of catches your eye?
It's the perennial and persistent inconsistency. Some games you're like, all right, Andrew Wiggins is back. Oh, this is the great move for Clay coming off the bench. And then they just, they don't like, it feels like they don't have middling games. It's either like, oh man, these dudes are great. And where were they? Where are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, how can you not do this? To me, the absence of Steph, and look, Jordan Poole has caught a lot of heat. A lot of heat. He deserves a lot of it. But man, that dude used to seize the moments when Steph was out or Klay was out. He's like, hey, this is my time.
It's literally what had people this summer being like, ah, he's probably going to average 30 in Washington.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which now seems like an absurd opinion, but like he kind of was that guy.
No question. Who does that on this team? Like Kuminga is probably the one guy you're like, all right.
He was last night.
Yeah, he was. He was attacking. But like, where's Wiggins? Where's Klay? To me, I feel like CP's played well. You know, obviously the Trayce Jackson-Davis has been a really boon of an element. Like they've made the right decisions, but sometimes guys just straight disappear, and that's the part where it's like, this is their season. This is why a 10 game win streak feels so unlikely, because they'll be great for four games, and you just know the stinker's coming, right? And that's what their players have done. And you know, I know, you know, whatever Andrew Wiggins situation is still going, right? It's still like heavy on him. You just needed him to say, hey, I got us this game. Or you needed Klay to say, I got us this game. And they just, that reliability from their best players just hasn't been there. And that's the part that's, I think, been a problem all year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, you mentioned the guards, like Chris Paul is as steadying as he can be, as much as him and Trayce in the pick and roll has been a helpful element. You know, last night he's missing some of those mid-rangers. Like he cannot score like he used to. The Chris Paul that is the Hall of Famer used to be able to get 25
buckets, yeah.
In a particular game. There's just a few last night, the Mavericks are letting him glide into 17-footers and he's missing them at key moments. But, you know, he's 39. Like you couldn't have built the roster expecting like Chris Paul to be able to give you the scoring punch you needed at that point. Another guy who has had a great rookie season, and he's probably going to be all first team rookie, Brandon Pajemski, has, I think, impressed in so many ways outside of scoring, right? I mean, leads the league in charges, you know, deflections everywhere, rebounds. He's like one of the best guard rebounders in the league, might be the best guard rebounder in the league. So much about his future is so positive, but in moments like this, especially as a rookie, especially at his size and his inability to like, you know, finish at the rim at times, or even the jumper hasn't been as consistent as maybe you thought coming out of Santa Clara at 43%. There are nights, games like this where you watch and you're like, man, they could use him being able to score more than he currently can at this stage of his career.
Yeah. It's a lot to ask too, right? For to say, hey man, come out and get some buckets. You need you to get some buckets. I think the part that's a little frustrating about Pajemski is you almost feel like it's there. He can do it, but he like kind of quirks his way out of it, right? Like he's driving to not look at the rim. And
yeah,
he's
it's
taking
just not there yet.
Yeah, it's not there yet. Yeah, you can tell he doesn't feel that the most confident in it. Like, you know, some of the shot choices and types of shot he takes makes you feel like, man, you can get there, but it's just not polished enough to be reliable. But, you know, I have a hard time faulting him for that. I think that's more like a Steve Kerr should kind of acknowledge. We need more sure offense here. Let's put Moody in, right? Like more of a, like a, we need like a reliable thing. But you give up something too.
Moses Moody just went. He hit a three yesterday.
But he was 13 straight?
14. 14 consecutive straight, missed threes before he hit that one yesterday. And he's it got him down to like 32.7% from three this year. And like, I like his offensive game. You know, he can have those burst drives to the rim. He had one on Kyrie yesterday with a dunk. And when he does line up an open three, like,
you feel like
feel
it's going
good,
in.
Yeah. Like it might go in. But at the same time, we can feel like that. If it's not going in on games that they need to go in, like, then, you know, it's a little bit like, oh, the expected score versus what the actual score was.
Yeah. So I like when you can't score to get dudes who can attack the rim. Like, to me, that's like Kuminga. Yeah, Kuminga did that. You needed a couple other guys, and Pajimski's just not going to attack the rim like that. That's just not what his game is yet. You know, like, they played fairly well against what I don't think is that good of a team anyway. I don't think Dallas is great. They've got a couple great players, but I think they're a very beatable team. I don't think they'll go far. So no. It's not like that. It's not like, oh, of course, you should feel good about a 10-point loss against them. Like, they still could have.
You shouldn't feel good, but I think what you should feel potentially kind of bad about is that, like, you kind of knew going in, like, that's probably not going to win this game.
Yeah,
they don't have much of a shot. And then that, to me, tells you more about the lower ceiling on this team. And I know, like, Steph changes so much, but regardless, like, to me, it's becoming clearer and clearer, like, this is a retool season. And, you know, I don't think that's something that the fan base, especially considering you mentioned it, Steph turned 36 today. You don't want to sit there around your 36-year-old star and say, hey, it's a retool season. But that's what it's become. You know, that's, you're playing a rookie center a lot more minutes. You're starting, you know, a rookie guard who literally just turned 21. Kuminga is getting his first taste of, like, you know, number two, number three, number four option type minutes. That's just what this season is. Right, you know.
No, but yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of been clear, but that's why it's important for them to get in the playoffs. Because, like, again, like we've been saying, is you need Kuminga in this role in the playoffs. You need him to get this under his belt, right? You'd like to see Trayce Jackson-Davis, you know, in this setting, because he's clearly going to be an important piece moving forward. And obviously, like, I mean, I feel like Pajimski's, like, game, it will translate. Like, he does that, the playoff stuff, the kind of thing that makes Moody really good in the playoffs, right? It's the hustle, it's the being in the right place, it's the, you know, the relentlessness. I feel like Pajimski's game will translate, but you still want to get him those reps, right? Even if you get cooked by Denver, like, go feel what that's like to get cooked by Denver, right? Like, Denver got cooked by the Warriors before they went on to win a championship. Like, that's part of it. But I do think part of the retooling is boosted by them getting into the playoffs and getting these young guys some experience. That's why it's important, not because they're going to run off 16 wins in the postseason, but because, like, Kuminga needs this, right? And you know what? Low-key, I do think Steph and Draymond and Klay need it, you know?
Just for, like, morale?
Yeah, the psyche of, like, we're not done. Like, you know, remember last year when they lost? It was more like a, all right, we don't like this. Let's get back, right?
Yeah.
You know, who knows? If they get in the playoffs and they look like they can't do it, it certainly helps some decisions that have to be made, right? Like, if you get there and it's like, oh, wow, this wasn't like just a regular season thing. So it just feels like for where they're going, like, the retool thing has been pretty obvious for a while. And, you know, they know it inside, right? Inside the organization, they know what's up. But it'll help if, to me, they really need to get to the playoffs for that reason. Like, that's going to be the big deal.
Yeah, that's becoming, as we mentioned, more difficult. What else about this team? You know, Draymond, I should mention, you know, missed yesterday with back soreness. I do think he was so good right away post-suspension and sustained for a long time. But at the same time, you know, you asked a lot. We know this, but they were asking a ton of him.
I wasn't there, obviously. Was this like something flared up, or was it like, hey, we don't need you tonight. Like, we might as well get these other guys some time.
He's been on the injury report, though, you know, even before the San Antonio game. I think he was probable and played with lower back soreness. But it's something that's clearly been bothering
him
a little bit. And I don't want to say it was a giveaway game, because you can't be giving away, like, massive stakes games to Dallas with tiebreakers and everything on the line, but maybe they just felt it and did kind of just believe, gear up, get him an extra 3 days off before the Laker game. Because they don't just need Draymond Green physically out there. They need a very good Draymond Green out there. And the other thing is, like, they and this is a bigger picture good storyline for them this week. Like, Trayce Jackson-Davis has really emerged.
That's what I was going to say when you talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he started yesterday. Obviously, you probably want to talk about the Wimby poster that he had this week. But, as you look towards the future, they have kind of found a big man that they like and trust and have on a very cheap contract moving forward. The problem, though, is – and
he's
saw,
not really a big man.
Well, I would say in the modern NBA he is. But the problem is Draymond, regardless of like, oh, you don't want to play Draymond at five because you don't want to overburden himself. Draymond's just not really a four ever anymore. You don't like the lineups that he's a four. It's tough to play him and Trace next to each other. So beyond just like, an overusage of Draymond at the five, like, I just think he is the five primarily now, and that kind of limits some of the lineup combinations you can go to.
Yeah, and Trace helps you preserve Draymond in that scenario because you could just play him as the backup five and limit, and we've seen him limit Draymond's minutes. He's not playing 34, 35 minutes. I still think this whole thing is like a referendum on their decision to not get size, or at least a message that you just gotta go get some size, because Trayce Jackson-Davis is 6'9" and he can jump, and he feels like the biggest addition, right? Like, yeah, massive,
gigantic,
just because he can like finish at the rim and block some shots, right? Like, you don't feel good about him, like, hey, all right, we got something to deal with Jokic or Embiid, or when you go up against Rudy and Kat and Naz Reid, like, you got, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got Trace, and that's pretty much it. He's probably the same height as Looney, just jumps higher. But that revelation, I do feel like Trace makes it very clear that you just can't rely on guile anymore.
You want to have a sadder discussion about the state of where the Warriors could be and where they are. I think that guy was supposed to be James Wiseman, because I think part of what you need is not only a 7-footer, but to me, with Draymond as he ages, with where the league is going, as I was just mentioning, you don't just need a center. You need a center who can shoot so you can actually play him next to Draymond. And there was that rookie season, James Wiseman, where he was shooting threes. Remember, like, he was hitting high 30s.
It was what he did best, yeah.
He was hitting pin downs. I remember
it was the post-ups that were killing him. Like, why are you posting this guy
and
up?
Look, we don't need to have a, recap of how that went poorly and, like, the fact that, like, James Wiseman just didn't work out overall as a player. But to me, you need that type of player where it would be a center that – but, I was looking at Daniel Gafford last night, who was a deadline.
Yeah, Gafford looks like, yeah.
He looks great, but at the same time, and I even talked to some Warriors people who were like, could you have got Gafford? What, would that have worked? But it's like, just like you can't really play Trace and Draymond next to each other right now because neither are shooters, right? It's two non-shooters. It would be tough to play Draymond and Gafford together. He would be Draymond's backup, probably. Which, that still might have been a good pickup. But my point is, overall, long-term, I think you kind of need a five who can shoot it. I was just in Oklahoma City for 3 days. Part of the reason that they're so great right now and have such a bright future is because their five shoots the three, pick and pops, all that. They spread the floor. That's what they do. It's modern NBA. They're not easy to get. I'm not just saying, hey, go find Chet Holmgren, but man, wouldn't a Chet Holmgren type player make, like, wouldn't that be what they need? A shooting five who can rim protect also.
I mean, yeah, that's clearly the future. Right? I mean, all you got to do is look to the best center in the games, and it's Embiid, it's Jokic, and they both shoot, right? They're big, but they both can shoot. They both can stretch it out. Like, those things are hard to find. But in the same token, like, I don't think not finding those means you just don't have a big. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to. And look, part of this is the sudden decline of Looney, right? Looney made you not need a lot of this stuff. And his inability to, like, be productive this year really hurt, right? Like, they banked on him being a guy to guard those guys and to take the weight, et cetera. And it just hurt, like you said, for the same reasons, right? It's tough to have a five that doesn't step out. So yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do about this, but Trace just automatically shows you, like, even if you don't have the most ideal, if you just have somebody who can finish at the rim. If you just have a lob threat, I mean, we've seen like GP2 be so valuable just for this reason. Somebody who can finish at the rim, give you some explosiveness. Like, it is a significant boost to what the Warriors do. Massive boost. Like, and Trace is cool, right? He's not, nobody's saying this dude is your start center of the future. He's going to be an all-star. It's not, but he's a solid rookie who does this thing that the Warriors just don't have. And it really pops. I mean,
yeah,
that dunk on Wimby was less about that he dunked on him. It was more about, like, it was off a drive. Wimby was there the whole time, and he just went at him. You just don't see that. You see a lot of Warriors driving in and like, oh, it might be blocked, so let me pull it out, right? Like, just that mindset is, like, so valuable to the Warriors. Like, you know what? No, I'm going to try to dunk on this dude.
That's why Kuminga is popping.
Absolutely. Another one, yes. Yeah, they need more like that. It's that mindset that I'm not going to concede the restricted area. Like, and that's kind of what they've done, is saying, like, well, if we can trick you into getting open and do some, like, back doors and stuff, cool. But if somebody's there, like, not, none of the good teams are doing that. None of the good teams are saying, if you got somebody there, we're not going to go there. So just Trace, who's not an all-star center, looks incredibly valued because he brings these things, which to me underscores they got to go get something like that.
Yeah, and again, this is where the Wiseman miss hurts. You know, that's what. Sure, Tyrese Halliburton would have been just leaps of a better pick, especially if you traded down and got somebody. But at the same time, like, it did – part of the reason they decided to go big and athletic and with Wiseman coming in back-to-back drafts is because they did feel like they needed the infusion of, you know, height, wingspan, athleticism, juice at the rim, paint points, you know, name it all. And, you know, I guess the bigger what-if of that draft – is what if they either won the lottery and got the first pick and got Anthony Edwards, or Anthony Edwards falls to them at two, one of the two, because, like, you know, that what they're missing is the premium talent where we can mention, hey, you know, they could go do this, that, the summer. Like, no, you can't. It's very difficult to do that at mid-level, at, you know, small tier trade. So unless they can swing big for the fences and get a star, which maybe that happens. The miss at number two overall hurts, although DeRozan's all mid-range, but, you know, he's very good at it.
But it's kind of counter to what they do, like, with Steph. I feel like they could use that. But, I mean, just watching him cook at the end of games is like, this dude is still pretty impressive.
I guess my major point on it, though, and you tell me if you agree or disagree, it feels like the Wiseman miss, especially the way that Looney played, didn't hurt as much. I mean, obviously, when he was on the court, he was destructive, but it feels like you're feeling the impact more year four, year five, year six when you're separated from it, because this was actually when he was supposed to be, like, exploding, like Kuminga is, and you just don't have that because you missed on that pick.
Yeah, this was supposed to be a passing of the torch time, right? Yeah. Like, this is Wiseman's team.
Yeah.
Obviously, the players who made that miss less painful are not what they were back then, right? Like, that's, I mean, Clay was a different, like, he could get out there and he could give you 30, and, you know, I mean, obviously Draymond was, you know,
20. Kevon Looney was like, just like really kind of like completely outplayed Domantas Sabonis in the playoff series.
Yep.
And was great in a Memphis series against, like, Steven Adams that helps them seal it. Was able to close against Boston when Draymond was struggling a little bit, like stuff like that.
It matters a ton, right? It matters a whole lot. And the pieces around them, that's the thing. Like, they don't have the things that they used to be able to rely on. They don't show up consistently enough. Like, Otto Porter, you knew if he was a bit open, it was going down. You knew he's going to get a rebound. Like, GP doesn't, you know exactly what Gary Payton's going to do every time. You know what he's not going to do, and you know what he is going to do. But when he's out there, he's going to do that thing.
But that's the thing, too. You mentioned when he's out there.
Yeah.
But
they used to have a bunch of guys like that. So when Steph is out, well, you know you're getting X, Y, and Z, and especially Clay, Wiggins, and Looney, especially. But, like, obviously you can throw in Dario Saric, right? You can throw in Brandon Podziemski, Moses Moody. They're very high variance this year. And sometimes they don't like line up to where, all right, this guy's off and this guy's on. Like we see sometimes they're just all off at the same time. So to me, the high variance really hurt them when you don't have a second star. We don't have a guy to say, all right, either Steph's not here or Steph's not cooking. I got this. Now you need all those pieces to like really produce. And we saw it like last night, Kuminga, it felt like Kuminga was by himself a lot. It's offensively. It's a, what is it? A 2-point game or 4-point game entering the fourth. And they simply cannot score. They just can't do it. They got looks. They just can't score. And that's like not one person. Like nobody could. Chris Paul, Pajimski, like, you know, Moody, like you name it. They couldn't get a bucket. When you don't have a number two, all that stuff has to line up well. And it did in the past. That was the point of going back to the veterans. Remember, it was like they were really young, and it was like you can't rely on all these young dudes. And they pushed to get the veterans, so they go get up. You know, the OGs, Dario Saric, right? They remember it was like Jermichael Green, like Dante DiVincenzo. They go get when those guys aren't consistent, it hurts the Warriors more because they don't have a number two. And to me, that's what stands out. Like, you just don't know what you're getting from them.
Where are you at on Kuminga entering year four next year as a potential? Like, can you go into next season with Kuminga, believing Kuminga is your second scorer? I think he's 43 out of 45 games. He's double figures, 20-point games now. Like he's shown a lot. But what your belief is, like, you need to go get, I assume, a more veteran number two scorer.
His production, it's not as on cue as he doesn't have it like that yet. You know, I mean, the handle still, I think this year is going to be great for him because he's learning, right? Like you see him driving and he's like, his only hope is to get the call. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, all right, I know exactly what I'm doing here. I'm going to lean this way. Like, he doesn't have that command of his offense. He just happens to be really good. To me, he needs more time before you could say, this is our bona fide, you know what I'm saying, number two, like he can take over the game. We can put it in his hands. I think if you're a really good team, he's your third best player, your third best scorer. And he punishes the margins that are left because of Steph Curry. He punishes them. And he can go get you 25, but it might be a rough 25. And the time where you need that bucket, he can't always just go get it like you want. So you could do it. You could look at this in a little bit longer term project and say, all right, we're developing Kuminga to be our star. This is it. So it might take you a little bit more time to get there, right? But now Steph's going to be 37, 38 before maybe he arrives at that. And maybe he has a great offseason and he comes back as that guy. That's why I think he's got to get to the playoffs, because it'll help him in that area. But as it looks now, I say you got Kuminga locked in as your third best player. And go out, or your second best overall player, but like as far as offensively going to get a bucket, you need somebody who can go get one. That to me, they still need that, even with Kuminga's rise. And that to me, because Kuminga is coming, then it's okay to go get an older dude, right? You don't need him to do it for 5 years. You just need Kuminga just needs a couple more years to develop.
Yeah, you know what the big question is though, can you get that guy without giving up Jonathan Kuminga?
Well, you're not giving up Jonathan Kuminga, so right? Like before, then you might not be able to get that guy.
Yeah.
He just might be a little older. He can't be 39 though. That's the big difference.
I mean, LeBron's 39.
Oh, that's a good point. I think Chris Paul's played really well. I do think they need him to score more. Fine. That's the only thing. They need him to score more. And that's a little tough. That's tough to ask.
Yep. All right, anything else on this team, or should we call it a podcast?
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, at Lakers, Saturday night, ABC, and what feels like it might be a preview of the 9-10. We don't know what building it.
Steph's playing, right?
Yeah. No way. I mean, unless it's just like the ankle doesn't feel good at Friday's practice in L.A. I mean, like, number one, they just had him go through a full practice with the Santa Cruz Warriors yesterday.
Yeah.
But two, do you fly him to L.A. for a practice if he's not
playing?
The plan is not for him to play Saturday.
And if he's that close, he's going to play. Yeah. Right. If he's close enough to fly or practice and play.
And they need it. You know, they need it really bad.
That's what I'm saying. This is like the biggest. This is it right here. Like, and 11 looks kind of far, but It ain't as far. It ain't that far.
Well, I mean, in Houston's down there, they just lost Sengun for the season, it sounds like. So, I don't know. I think 11 is not happening.
I'm just saying you got to be careful. That's all.
Sure. Don't go, you know, 7 and 10. Don't go 5 and 12.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all I'm saying. Don't get a little, like, I mean, I saw Pajipski saying, you know, they're kind of far back. So, yeah, I mean, I hear you playing.
He did kind of like.
I hear you playing, but hold on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Utah's 6 games back. Yeah. I mean, that's a far climb. That's a far
because
climb.
The thing you, I mean, you know this, but like, you know, I don't think Houston's about to rattle off a really great stretch in Utah.
I'm saying they've won 3 in a row. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. You know, maybe. Sure.
Hey, like Steve said, at any point,
anything.
You go in 10 in a row and you're good. Like Steve was the title. Called it. Well, if you win 10 in a row in April, you might be pretty good.
I mean, it just might come down to NCAA tournament style. Just keep winning once they get to the play-in. So,
yeah, that's what it is.
All right.
All right. We'll probably do something after the Lakers.
Okay. Yep. Either me and you or me and Jovan Buha. We will figure something out. Somebody will.
Oh, you and Jovan. That's the song.
I know. I figure you're going to want that, but
yeah. Sorry, the lights.
We'll see. Maybe I can get Marcus on a live room.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. All right.
All right, people, we're out of here.